This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created this world, this existence, He did not create it as a place of permanence. Rather, He created it as a place of bitterness and hardship. When Allah created humanity, He decreed that our states would alternate between health and illness, between wealth and poverty, between union and separation, between joy and sadness. And Allah decided which of His servants would live in these states. وَرَبُّكَ يَخْلُقُ مَا يَشَاءُ وَيَخْطَارُ. Your Lord creates what He wants and He chooses. But in the wisdom of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is that He does not treat His servants unjustly. He does not lose the reward of those who act in excellence. He does not lose the reward of those who act with patience during hardship. He does not lose the reward of those who are suffering illnesses or hardships in their livelihood or even in their bodies. Today is the International Day to recognize people who live with disabilities. And it's important for us as Muslims to think about how our religion makes us think about the nature of disabilities. Some people might be born with disabilities, like autism or Down syndrome. Other people may develop it. Maybe there's a tragedy that causes a person to lose their limbs or some of their abilities. However disabilities occur, if the person expects reward from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then they are amongst those whom Allah will give them a tremendous reward. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, يَوَدُّ أَهْلُ الْعَافِيَةِ يَوْمِ الْقِيَامَةِ حِينَ يُعْطَى أَهْلُ الْبَلَاءِ الثَّوَابِ. He said that on the Day of Judgment, the people who had health will be wishing, will be desiring, when they see the reward that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give the people who are patient. They see Allah is giving reward to people who are patient. On that day, they're going to wish for something. What are they wishing for? The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, they wish that they came back to the dunya and that their bodies were cut up with scissors. Their bodies were torn apart. That they lived a very excruciating life in this world. Why? Because in that world they realize how little value this world has. And in that world they realize how much the reward of being patient in this world is. So they wish they were living here with the most excruciating pain so that they would be patient and get the reward in the next life. This is how Islam allows us to see the tremendous inner value and inner virtue of people who are struggling against hardship in their lives. And this is a huge difference between the Islamic civilization and the civilizations that preceded it. The ancient Greek would look at someone born with a disability as being unsuitable for life, and they would kill such people. The Romans would look at people with disabilities as though they are a source of entertainment. They would bring them to like a circus for people to watch and be amused. But Islam rejected this kind of degradation. Instead, you notice something in the Quran. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not draw parallel between the health of a person's body and between the health of their spirituality. If anything, we see the opposite. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَإِذَا رَأَيْتَهُمْ تُعْجِبُكَ أَجْسَامُهُمْ. وَيَقُولُ تَسْمَعْنِ قَوْلِهِمْ. Allah is speaking about the hypocrites in the Quran. He says, if you look to their bodies, you would like it. They look strong and big. And if they speak, you want to listen to them. They are eloquent in their speech. Is this now a sign that spiritually they are good? No, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, قَاتَلَهُمُ اللَّهُ أَنَّا يُؤْفَكُونَ. God's curse is upon them. How deluded are they? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't draw this kind of connection. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us the example of Musa and Fir'aun. And Fir'aun is saying, what about Musa? He's saying, are you going to listen to this man who can barely speak? Musa had a stutter. Would stutter when he would speak. Yet who is the one who spiritually is better than the other? The one who is struggling, in fact, in his ability to speak. Islam tells us to look at the people with disability as someone who's being tested, and now they have a door to go towards the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. A woman came to our Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and she said, Ya Rasulullah, inni usra' wa atakashaf. She said, O Messenger of Allah, I suffer seizures. And while I have the seizure, my body becomes exposed. So what does she want? فَدْعُ اللَّهُ أَن يَشْفِيَنِي. Make dua for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to heal me. Make dua that Allah heals me from this. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to her, فَقَالَ إِن شِئْتِ دَعَوْتُ اللَّهَ لَكِ أَن يَشْفِيَكِ وَإِن شِئْتِ صَبَرْتِ. The Prophet said, if you wish, I will pray for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to heal you. And if you wish, you can be patient. And the Prophet is telling her, if you wish, you can be patient. Even if you are suffering. Even if your mother and your father, your husband and your children are suffering with you because of your illness, because they love you and they hate to see you go through these hardships. The Prophet tells her, if you want, you can be patient. وَإِن شِئْتِ صَبَرْتِ وَلَكِنْ جَنَّةِ. If you want, you can be patient and you will have paradise. The Prophet doesn't say the existence of this disability is a pure evil that has to be eradicated. Let me make dua for Allah to cure you and the disability is gone. No, he says, if you want, we can do this. But there's also value in the disability. And that value is you being patient and being connected to the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this woman begins to evaluate these two options. The first offer, to be healed, to be relieved of this sickness. And the second offer, to be patient and to have paradise. And she said, بَلْ أَصْبِرْ. She said, no, rather I will be patient. But make dua, أَلَّا أَتَكَشَّفْ, that my body does not become exposed when I have this seizure. So the Prophet ﷺ made dua, and they said after this day she would have seizures, but not so intensely that her clothing would unravel and that she would be exposed. And Abdullah bin Abbas radiallahu anhu, the cousin of our Prophet ﷺ, who became one of the great teachers of the Qur'an, when he would walk with his students through Medina, sometimes they would see this woman is walking in the street. Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu would tell his students, do you want to see a person from the people of paradise? They said, yes, of course. He said, that woman. That woman. She chose paradise. She is of the people of paradise. This is the way the companion saw people who are struggling with disabilities. We know the famous story. Our Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, every time he would pass by Abdullah bin Umm Maktum radiallahu an, the companion of the Prophet who was blind, every time the Prophet would walk by him, he would say, مَرْحَبًا بِمَنْ عَاتَبَنِي فِيهِ رَبِّي. Welcome to the person whom because of him, my Lord admonished me. My Lord critiqued me because of you. And he's welcoming him. And this is the famous story where the Prophet ﷺ is sitting with the leaders of Quraysh, and he's giving them da'wah, and he's calling them to Islam. And Ibn Maktoum comes to the Prophet and he's asking him, when is the time of prayer? He is blind, he cannot see. And the Prophet is focused on giving da'wah to these leaders of Quraysh. And Ibn Maktoum cannot fully see the awkward situation of him approaching the Prophet in this setting, because he's blind. And the Prophet ﷺ ignores him to continue giving the da'wah. Now it's important to say, the Prophet's mistake here is not out of arrogance, right? It's not, you know, the sinfulness of him being arrogant or anything like that, or him being sinful. This is a mistaken judgment. He's thinking it's more important to give da'wah to the leaders of Quraysh. If they become Muslim, then Islam will have their strength, the strength of these leaders accepting Islam. He's not looking down at Ibn Maktoum, he's prioritizing giving this da'wah. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made sure to critique our Prophet on this point. عَبَسَ وَتَوَلَّ أَنْ جَاءَهُ الْأَعْمَى. He frowned and he turned away because the blind man came to him. وَمَا يُدْرِيكَ لَعَلَّهُ يَسَكَّى. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, I know these leaders of Quraysh are not going to be pure. These people of Quraysh are not going to listen to you. But I know this man is. And for that reason alone, this man is far better than all these leaders who have money and power and prestige and fame. And he reminds us through this story to be wary of preferring the rich and the powerful and the strong over the poor blind man. Because the poor blind man might be far greater in the eyes of Allah than all those other people. And through this, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala showed us that while we might belittle or overlook the abilities and the contributions of people with disabilities, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala values their abilities. Allah values their striving for His cause. Allah valued the effort of Ibn Maktoum. And so we too are obliged that when we see someone with a disability and they're unable to move their hand or walk, or someone with children who have these disabilities, we are obligated to treat them with ihsan, with excellence, as the Prophet ﷺ is reminded to treat Ibn Maktoum with excellence, to treat them with good character. وَأَحْسِنُوا إِنَّ اللَّهَ يُحِبُّ الْمُحْسِنِينَ. Show excellence because Allah loves those who show excellence. And the Prophet ﷺ in one hadith was asked, what are the doors? دُلَّنِي عَلَىٰ أَبْوَابِ الْخَيْرِ. What are the doors of good? Tell me what the doors of good are. And the Prophet's a longer hadith, the Prophet begins to list different acts of goodness that a Muslim can do. And one of them, he says, أَن تُعِينَ صَانِعًا أَوْ تُصْنَعَ لِأَخْرَقٍ. One of them, to help a laborer, somebody who's working, help them. Even if you get nothing out of it. You see somebody is painting for a living, they're painting. You say, hey, can I help you? This is a good deed in this. But he continues and he says, or to work for someone who has a mental disability. Someone has a mental disability, they can't do things in their life, to go work for them. Help them. Give them the things that they need. Take care of them. We've spoken in many khutbas about the hadith of the Prophet ﷺ, where he said, المسلمون كالجسد الواحد. The believers are like one body. If one part of it is paining, the whole body feels pain. So it's not conceivable when we see our brothers and sisters with disabilities, struggling, that we turn them away, that we ignore them, we pretend they don't exist, we don't care for them. A brother once came into the masjid with his wheelchair. And someone immediately starts yelling at him. He says, you're bringing najasa into the masjid. Your wheels are going all over the road and everywhere and you're bringing it to the masjid. Immediately yelling at him. And the brother had already wiped, by the way, the wheels of the wheelchair. He knows he's entering a masjid. He wipes it down. Could you not have approached him? Assalamu alaikum. Get to know him. Exchange your name. say, you know, I'm just wondering, did you wipe the tires before you entered? Because, you know, najasa. You could have a good way of having this conversation. But no, some people, they wish they weren't even in the masjid to begin with. They wish they weren't even in the community to begin with. People complain to Umar ibn Abdul Aziz about the disabled people in the Muslim Ummah. So Umar radiallahu anh employed and gave a full salary to people. Their job is to work with those who are disabled to help them. They were receiving a full salary from the Muslim government to go and help them and work with them. This is our ethics. Our ethics being shown in the way that the Muslims were dealing with people. In fact, when people complained to Umar radiallahu anh, he wrote a letter to the governor of Damascus. And he said to him, pretend you are one of them. Pretend you are someone with a disability. What would you want? Put yourself in their shoes. And this is something we should all be doing. Put ourselves in their shoes. When we think about victory, especially in these days, I want you to think about one hadith of our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. When the Prophet would meet a people, a tribe would come, a delegation would come, and he would meet with them, or he would go and sit with them. Who do you think comes to the delegations? Even today, if there's a politician coming to visit the community, who do they bring? They bring the important people, the rich people, the powerful people, the people of influence. So the same thing, people would bring the tribal leaders to meet the Prophet. The Prophet would say, bring me the weak. Bring me du'afa'ikum. Bring me the weak amongst you. I want to speak to the orphans. I want to speak to the people who are ill. I want to speak to the people who are poor. I want to speak to these people. And people are wondering, why are you asking to speak to these people? It's as if the Prophet ﷺ knows the measure of a people, the measure of a qawm. How do you treat the weak amongst you? This is the measure of who you are. The Prophet ﷺ said, هَلْ تُنصَرُونَ وَتُرُزَقُونَ إِلَّا بِضُعَفَائِكُمْ. He said, and do you, it's a rhetorical question, and are you given victory? Are you given risk from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala except through the weak amongst you? Meaning, except through your service for the weak amongst you, this is the way that you attain Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's victory and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's provision. And that's something important for us to understand. How we take care of those amongst us that are the most vulnerable, that we don't leave them behind, that we don't ignore them, that we don't pretend like they don't exist. How we take care of them is the means to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's victory and His provisions. فَيَقُولُوا قَوْلِي هَذَا وَاسْتَغْفِرُوا اللَّهَ لِي وَلَكُمْ وَاسْتَغْفِرُوا إِنَّهُ الْغَفُورُ الرَّحِيمُ. بسم الله الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وصحبه ومن والاه. There's so much to say on this topic, but I want to ensure that I don't conclude today without speaking about a couple of things. So number one, that we don't belittle the ability of people who have disabilities. Sometimes we give a talk like this and people leave with sympathy, with mercy in their hearts for those who have disabilities. But we still belittle their abilities. We pretend that because the person is disabled, they can't do anything. And the Prophet ﷺ did not do this. Right? Ibn Umm Maktum, who was blind, the Prophet would make him judge the people. Especially if the Prophet had to leave Medina, he would make Ibn Umm Maktum the leader and the judge. If there's an argument that happens when the Prophet is not there, he is the one judging between the people. Just because he can't see doesn't mean he can't judge and think. Amr ibn Jamuh radiallahu anh had a limp, but he wanted to fight. And the Prophet allowed him. And he went and fought in Uhud and he died. And the people told him, you don't have to. Allah has given you an excuse, you're limping. He said, I want to enter Jannah with this limp. Right? We see this in many different facets of the life of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. That he encouraged the people to use the abilities they have If Allah has taken away one ability, there's still 100 abilities that they do have. Finally, before we conclude, our thoughts are always with the people of Gaza and what they're going through right now. And it's important for us to realize that amongst the people in Gaza who are going through extreme difficulty, many of them themselves are disabled. In fact, they said over 50,000 people in Gaza who've had to flee their homes have been disabled, of the million that have had to flee their homes. They're told to flee, and some of them have to flee on wheelchairs, if they're lucky and they have the wheelchair. Many of them are unable, so they're staying in their homes even though their neighborhood is being bombarded. Some can't hear, so they don't even know when the airstrikes are falling. They have to see, is the building shaking? That's how they know that something is happening. People requiring medication have been unable to get medication because of the blockade on Gaza. We know hospitals have been bombed. There was a hospital that was invaded by the IDF, and they forced the doctors and the medical staff out at gunpoint, told them they had to leave. And there were premature babies inside of the hospital. So the medical staff left, and they were hoping they're going to take these babies, transfer them to another medical center. They left them to die and starve. They came back just a few, yesterday, the day before, they found the bodies of the babies still there. They left them behind. These crimes show us what their values are. These crimes show us what they really stand for. In all their power and their might and their ability, Allah has given them ability, given them one of the biggest armies, strongest armies in the world, given them enough money to do what they want to do, and this is what they produce. It shows us what they really stand for. And as Muslims, it's important for us to embody the values of our beliefs, to produce what we really believe in. And that's an important lesson for us to take forward. But I saw a beautiful clip of a brother in Gaza who himself, his grandchildren were killed. And he's speaking to a girl who lost her leg in one of the airstrikes. And he tells her something very beautiful. He tells her, "Your leg entered Jannah before you." This is the mindset of the Muslim. This is the way that we see disabilities and hardships and tragedies. With this kind of optimism and this kind of persevering for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to protect the people of Gaza. We ask Allah to provide His aid to those who need His aid. Ameen.